Well, it's another Monday night.
Yes, it is.
And VoiceOver Body Shop is coming up. If you ever watch Jane the Virgin, which you really should, there's a great voice in there, Anthony Mendez, who is the narrator. He is our guest tonight, joining us from New Jersey.
What a get.
Yeah, he's a great guy, too. So that's going to be lots of fun. We have some interesting tech questions, something going back to our early days of bad audio of the week.
Yeah. And let's bring it back.
We'll explain how not to do it. And then Anthony will be here, and we're going to have a great time. So join us here on VoiceOver Body Shop, coming up right now.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voiceover actors everywhere. Together, in one place, George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voiceover actor with over 30 years experience in broadcast and recording, and a no-holds-barred myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of VoiceOver today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your VoiceOver business, this is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products, Antland Productions, where you can get a killer demo, Source Elements, makers of Source Connect, Source Connect Pro, and Source Connect Now, VO2GoGo.com, and Rehearsal App, by VoiceOver Extra, your one stop for voiceover success, Edge Studio, find your voice, and Vizzy Demos.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Well, good evening. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. Alrighty. Well, I have a bit of a cold. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
So we're going to compensate. I'm going to be a little closer to the mic. And, you know, because normally I sound like this.
Yeah, normally just laid back.
But. I know, but tonight it's going to be a little bit more like this.
I like it.
I know. I want to sound like our guest.
Yeah, you can't.
Well, I can say it with a Spanish accent that I can. You know,
you will never have the voice of Anthony Mendez.
I can try to aspire to it.
That's right.
Anyway, our guest tonight is Anthony Mendez. If you've ever watched Jane the Virgin, he has this great role. You don't see him; he's just the narrator, And he's fabulous on it. And he really drives the whole show and makes it all work.
He's the storyteller, so to speak, right?
Exactly. And he has a very prominent role in that. But he's also done all sorts of other cool stuff, and he's working on something new, which he wants to tell us about. So we'll get to him in about 30 minutes or so. And we've got some interesting tech stuff.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi, stuff you all are fascinated with. Actually, it's really important.
You all use and you all hate. It's the technology you love to hate, Wi-Fi.
Absolutely. But George knows more about it than anybody, so we'll be talking
about that.
And what else? We've got some questions from our vast audience all across the Fruited Plain.
Of course, you know that because we told you this before.
I know, but it's all part of that. And some interesting audio, and then something about Source Connect and stuff like that. And any questions you guys have, maybe you can throw it in the chat room. I believe that Jack Daniel is monitoring the chat room tonight because
it was here.
Get the studio cam there, Andrew. Wave there, Jack. There you go. All right. So we actually have a pretty sizable audience tonight.
For our studio, we do.
I know. And they can applaud at any time they want.
That's right. They're allowed.
There's the applause sign goes on. There you go. Okay.
We need to double or triple that up. That sounded rather sparse.
That sounded like the crowd at the fourth green, you know. Nice putt there. Okay. Anyway, we've got the news. So let's roll that news footage.
And now, the VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News, the latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news. Brought to you live.
Alrighty, here is the news for March 6th. Believe it or not, it is March 6th. From VoiceOver Extra, newbies beware. When recording voiceovers, we have the luxury of do-overs. Flub a word or a line or need an alternate slant on a character? Just record it again until you get it right for your client or for yourself. In the track of a career, though, no do-over is allowed. What's been done is done, and if you flubbed anything, well, there's been a cost in wasted time and most likely wasted expense as well. Our good friend David Winograd is an expert in instructional technology, which involves teaching how to systematically create curriculum and deliver it using technology. His PhD focus was on distance learning, which we now call e-learning. I used to do a lot of that back in the 90s. Anyway, well, that's all a long-time former career. 3 years ago, David, for some reason, moved into the world and business of voiceover. Go figure. And true to his earlier profession, he remains a teacher of sorts in a new series of articles on VoiceOver Extra, warning newcomers about the pitfalls of a voiceover career. Now, David confesses, quote, "I've made countless mistakes." Well, who hasn't? "I do, however, pride myself in only making the same mistake once and learning from my errors." Perhaps some of the errors he talks about in this series can help you, too, if you're just starting a voiceover career, in which case you're in the right place because you're watching the right show that's going to help you. Ready? Here's his first one. David lists 13 things you don't want to hear about the voiceover business. These are, from his perspective, of course, hardly anyone makes real money at it. It takes years to establish yourself. To be competitive, you need constant and consistent ongoing training. A good voice is probably the least important part of the equation. Never make a demo until your coach tells you that you are ready to make a demo, and that you may take much longer than you bargained for, and it might cost more than you can imagine. We've seen that one. To be competitive, you need a home studio. Yes, David, which can cost quite a bit when you take into account items such as a microphone suited for your voice, a decent computer, recording software, acoustic treatment, and more than this, than the general article that can possibly cover. And we talk about that anyway, so he doesn't have to. Right. And you'll need to become an audio engineer. Well, somewhat. The majority, and David figures well over 75% of your time, will be spent marketing yourself through direct email marketing, cold calling, knocking on doors, whatever. A voiceover talent runs their own business and must be prepared to run it as a business with plans, goals, objectives, budgets, and all the stuff we've been trying to get away from by becoming a voiceover talent in the first place. Pay-to-play online casting sites put you in competition with hundreds, if not thousands, of others who have been doing this longer than you are, and at the start are better trained than you. Finding an agent is hard. If you find an agent and are very good and lucky, only a small part of your income will even come from your agent. And finally, most people give up in a fairly short period of time. All of that can be highly discouraging to a newcomer. So, why is David still in the voiceover world? I was going to ask that question. David, why are you still doing this? And happily so? And how is he overcoming all these pitfalls? Well, that's in part two of the series, now at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success. Check it out right after the show. All righty. Yeah, Dave's a good guy.
Yeah, he
bought lots of studio suit.
That makes him a good guy right away.
And to me, absolutely.
Well, having a little tech update. We can call it news.
Let's talk about Wi-Fi.
Let's talk a little bit about Wi-Fi. So that's been a hot topic tonight. We've got Anthony. He's coming in from across the country. And, you know, we've looked at our internet speed. We know it's good. We went to speedtest.net. We know it's fast. We've got the best routers. We've got the best gear. You know, we really have everything set. But for some reason, we're getting some interruptions in signal. Oftentimes, it's due to being on Wi-Fi. And, well, we've been told that we figured out Wi-Fi. We figured out wireless. Why use wires, right? I mean, everything's got Wi-Fi.
Right.
Well, that's the problem. Everything has Wi-Fi. And things step on each other. And the more densely populated you are, or the area, like an urbanized environment, let's just put it this way. When you click on the Wi-Fi antenna, the more networks that pop down at the bottom or on your Windows machine pop up from the bottom.
Yeah, mostly named after people's cats.
Yeah, I've seen them. Today I saw one network, it said virus. One was called virus. I've seen some really clever. I wanted to call my Wi-Fi network one time because my neighbor was driving me nuts. Clean up after your dog. Literally, that was what I was going to call my Wi-Fi network. But you'll know if you have any modern Wi-Fi equipment, or you know, a new router, or even the router that comes from your cable company, you'll probably notice you'll have two networks, and one has a 5G after it. 5G is confusing because there's also cell phones that are 3G and 4G,
right?
But the two have nothing to do with each other.
Oh, okay.
In cell phones, 4G is referring to the generation of the network, which is LTE, which is another thing I'm not even going to get into, probably because I don't know a lot about it, but okay. I'm not going to get it. But when they talk about 5G on a Wi-Fi router, they're talking about gigahertz.
Mm-hmm.
Your typical Wi-Fi network that you've been using for 15 years is on 2.4 gigahertz is the band that it's on, which is shared by a ton of stuff, like cordless phones, for example. Did you ever have this happen to you back in the day? You'd be on your internet, you'd be using Wi-Fi, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden your cordless phone rings.
Yes.
You get a phone call, you pick it up, and then you realize that your computer's offline. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, once or twice.
Yeah, not that often, luckily, right?
Yeah.
That's because the wireless frequency that your router is running on is the same as that your home cordless phone is on. So if you have that problem, you want to move one of them. You should either be on a different network on the Wi-Fi, or you should change out your old cordless phone.
Well, people are all using their cell phones anyway.
It's less and less of a problem. If you're still using cordless phones, get one that's called a DECT phone, D-E-C-T. They're on like a 6 gigahertz or something like that, and they do not in any way interfere with your Wi-Fi. But to summarize, the 5G that you have, if you turn on your network, you'll see there's two. One has a 5G. That one is capable of higher speed.
Right.
But the problem is the signal cannot penetrate walls as well. It's a higher frequency. So normal is 2.4. 5G is 5.8, I think it is, gigahertz. Right. So higher frequencies can't penetrate walls.
So it's good if you're like right next to your Wi-Fi router using your iPad using 5G, but not in your bedroom on the other side
of the house. It's not good for the long throw. So if you're like two walls away,
right,
and you see there's two networks, and there's one that's 5G and one that's not, pick the not 5G one. And chances are that one's going to work a lot better for you.
I never would have thought that would have been so fascinating, but everybody thinks about that one, and now it's like, of course.
It's not logical. 5G, faster. 5G, newer. It's better. Except it just can't penetrate walls as well. It's wireless radio theory or whatever it is. I'm thinking of actually getting my ham license.
Your ham license?
Yeah.
Cool. That means you got to build a huge antenna, you know.
I want to know more about
raise
wireless.
It up and...
I just feel like I want to be more available and more able to get out to the world when the infrastructure crumbles. Not that it's going to. I didn't mean when.
We've been looking for a project to do together. Maybe that's the one.
Turn
this into a radio show.
Yeah, you can get a handy talkie for ham radio band on Amazon for like $50.
Really?
I gave one to my dad when he came to visit.
Yeah.
I gave him this. Well, he was having a blast with it. Of course, where I live, he couldn't pick up anything because I'm down in a hole.
Right.
But, you know, it's fun technology, and it's the one thing that you can use to communicate off the grid. Is, you know, it's totally outside of the internet. So if the internet goes down, it's one of the last ways to reach, the next town or across the world using repeaters. Yeah. So
the old fun way of doing it.
Yeah.
I've always been interested in that. You know, wanted to build a Heath kit.
Yes, my dad had an old Heathkit rig. It was green and tan, and I remember it. And he had an amplifier. And then my dad still has an operating ham station in his basement, and he calls it a vintage station because everything in there is from 83 or older, maybe.
Right.
But it works.
Yeah. But everyone sounds like this.
Yeah. Well,
give him a better microphone. All right. Well, that was interesting. Already. Well,
sorry about that.
Yeah. We no. Not. That wasn't even a greatest sign.
I try to be boring as possible.
No,
you know,
that's
my job.
Because
the more boring I am, the better you look.
Good point. All righty. We got lots going on tonight. We've got a couple of questions coming up. If you got a question for us, throw it in the chat room and maybe Jack can get it to us in time. Anyway, we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon, and the scripts seem a bit dated too. Advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
And there it goes. Oh, anyway, Source Elements, one of our sponsors on our show. These guys created probably the most, well, I would say definitely the most popular audio streaming software for connecting between your studio, the commercial studio down the street, or the one in London or around the world. It's a highly, highly cherished and loved and relied upon technology nowadays. It is... kind of think of it as Skype, but a professional audio version of Skype. No video. This is all about audio, and it allows really great high-quality audio streaming between studios. It's a great alternative to ISDN. It is, seems to be the heir apparent for those who have been using ISDN the last 5 to 10 to 20 years. Even the networks, some of them are starting to give Source Connect a try. So maybe you should too. You can get a demo, 15-day free trial demo of Source Connect at source-elements.com/. There's no slash. Just go to source-elements.com. There it is. Oh, your hand came out of nowhere. That was freaky. anyway, give it a shot. You know, they're good guys. They've got great support. And it's going to amplify your game. Because if you're a voice actor who's starting to play at a level where you need to be doing live directed sessions, commercials, things like that, this is a tool you might want to investigate. So give it a shot. And thanks to Source Elements for supporting us at VOBS. We'll be right back.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology,
business,
and good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
And we're back here on Voice Over Body Shop, or is it radio in 1975? I'm not exactly sure.
Isn't it amazing how just moving the mic like 6 to 10 inches closer, it completely changes the characteristic of the mic and your voice?
Right.
It really does.
I know.
I mean, well, we've been talking about this forever, but people are like chasing the mic dream. Like, I want to try this one, I want to try that one.
It's all
just
a mic
take
dream.
The one you have and move it 3 inches this way or that way, and it sounds like a different mic all of a sudden.
Right. No. Yeah. Well, of course, this is a TLM 103,
yes,
which
is
a very nice microphone. No, it's
beautiful.
Beyond nice. It is the industry standard for a nice voiceover microphone because that's what it was designed for.
Do you know what I was playing with the other day, though? Because I had a client send
I don't
me in five
know,
mics. The client sent me in five samples with her voice, and one of them was a TLM 193.
Uh-huh, yep.
Really nice.
Yeah.
And why I thought it was so good is because it's a more flat mic.
Mm-hmm.
The 103 has a little bit of a presence rise, so it can be a little sibilant on some women's voices.
Yeah.
And the 193 has like a little dip at that sibilance area, and then it flattens out. It's got a really different top-end response. It's too bad it's $1,600.
Yeah, well.
It's more expensive, yeah. But I was surprised.
All right. Well, let's look at some of the questions we have tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. And we get to use DAWView 2017 to show how not to do it.
Okay.
All right. Let's see here. The question comes from someone by the name of Sandy. We won't mention her last name, mm-hmm. and you'll find out why.
Okay.
And this falls perfectly after this new story we had from Dave Winograd about what a tough business this is.
That's right.
The question is, I'm a newbie. I recently started listening to your show. Well, thank you. It's entertaining, and you pack a ton of useful information into each episode. My head is spinning, but in a good way. All right. I subscribe to a pay-to-play site. She named a specific one, so I won't mention their specific name.
No.
For obvious reasons, we know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And have sent my auditions to them via voice record on my iPhone 6 Plus.
Right.
I attached one audition sample and have recorded on voice record and was wondering if you could take a listen to the sound quality. Does it pass the white glove test? And is the production quality good enough to send a finished product via voice record to clients?
Hmm.
I know when voiceover peeps are away from home, they must do what they have to do.
Sure.
Let me know what you think. Be listening tonight. Looking forward to meeting you guys in Atlanta. Yeah, we're going to be in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's right.
For VO at Atlanta. Well, okay, we got to get on to desktop presenter here on my computer. And it's now time for DAWView 2017.
DAWView 2017!
And there it is, DAWView 2017. Okay, now, this is the file that Sandy sent me today. Without even listening to it. No, I listened to it first. But without even listening to it, my mm-hmm. first reaction to it was, well, there's a problem here already. When you send out an audio file, and I know all of you in the chat room are going, oh, we know what Dan's going to say, because he's right. Never send a file in two-track. You know, some people think, well, it's stereo. It must sound better. No, it's not true. Send it in single track mono.
Yes.
Second of all,
more is not better when it comes to tracks.
Also, you can see here that her levels are not quite high enough. They're marginal at best.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be peaking between -6 and -4. So
ideally,
but it's consistently low here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's listen to this file.
Okay.
We're not mentioning her last name, but listen up.
Showcase yourself and tell exactly what you are doing or what's happening around you in your own style. Just put your moments on Victra and share. Showcase yourself.
Well, what is my number one rule of home studios?
Fix it in the studio. Don't try to fix it in post.
Right. But that's the rule. But the concept and the philosophy is 90 to 95% of the quality of your audio is dependent on the acoustical nature of the room in which you record.
Absolutely.
You know, the idea is not to make you sound great. It's to make you sound like you and capturing you as you exist, but without all the room ambiance.
Yeah, you want the absence of the distractions of the room.
Right. You don't want room reflection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in here where we are in the voiceover body shop, it's dead. There's sound doesn't bounce around in here because it's lined with studio suit and all sorts of other acoustical accoutrements up here.
Right.
It has to be, you can't have a reflective surface. She was either in an empty room,
mm-hmm.
a hallway,
mm-hmm.
or, God help us, a bathroom, because there was a tremendous amount of room reflection.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bathroom because they're really, really reverberant.
Right.
But it's possible. Maybe she's got a bathroom with a throw rug down on it or something,
right.
or a robe. So, it was a bit reflective. I mean, you're trying to always solve two problems, one less reverb and one less noise.
Right.
And the two of them tend to fight each other because if you go in a really small closet that has less noise, sometimes it sounds very
tubey.
Boxy and tubey.
Yeah.
If you're in a larger room that maybe you find one that is somehow has less reflection and sounds better, it tends to be noisier because there's more places for noise to get in.
Right.
So it is the most challenging thing that you face in a home studio, and it has to be sorted out.
Yep. So, did it pass the white glove test?
Not quite.
No, not quite.
It's the reverberation issue that's the biggest problem.
Right.
If you listen to it back on headphones. If you're listening to it on speakers, chances are you're not detecting. You're not going to really notice it because the speakers are playing back in the same echoey room.
Right.
So you don't really have a good frame of reference. Listen to it back on headphones closely. Close your eyes. You should then notice that reverberation coming in, and that's when it's time to start addressing that.
Right. I also sent her the file with me talking in here, mm-hmm. saying, this is what it's supposed to sound like. Here's what you sound like.
That's a good idea. Give an example so they have something to compare to.
Right. So I'm sure she recognizes that. But we'll meet her at VoiceOver Atlanta, at VO Atlanta this week.
If she still wants to talk to us.
If she still wants to talk to us. I didn't tell you could use that question, but it was such a great example.
No, it is. It's all good right. for people to hear it once in a while.
Now, there's a question about
Jeff,
our friends Bugonian. At Source Connect.
Yes. Jeff always posts pictures of me on the VoiceOver Body Shop group saying caption contest. I know this guy. I've been hearing some conflicting opinions about Source Connect Now and Source Connect Pro. Recently, I was told that if a person wants to record me, I need to have Source Connect Pro in order for them to be able to record it. In other words, they cannot record if I am using Source Connect Now and they are using Source Connect Pro. Is that true? I was under the impression after last week's interview with Source Elements founders Robert and Rebecca that all Source Connect programs will work with each other. Watch it again, Jeff. No. No.
Good night, everybody. We're
No. If you're asking this question, we didn't cover it thoroughly enough, so we apologize. But Source Connect Now is still a completely it's an island unto itself. It is not compatible yet with any other systems. It can't connect to Source Connect Standard or Pro. And it's still a free beta. I've seen people online saying studios are telling me to use Source Connect Now. So people are using it. And it is possible for a studio engineer to record Source Connect Now. It's just you can't directly plug Source Connect Now right into Pro Tools. It's not a plug-in.
A little bit of patch bay work there.
There's a little patch bay work to do, yeah. So engineers tend to not like using it for that reason. And a lot of them have been using Source Connect Standard and Pro for many years. Standard and Pro, those work together. Most studios have Pro. Most voice actors will have Standard. But the two of them work beautifully together. So, yeah, that should answer that question.
Cool. All right.
I won't expound any further.
All right. Well,
if you want more details, watch the last episode.
There was 45 minutes of this last week.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Paul Stefano asks, tech question, if you need it. Well, we always take them.
We always want them.
Yeah. What's in my travel rig for VO Atlanta this week? What's in my travel rig?
I know Dan's philosophy on travel, but Dan.
Yeah. I'm not going to do voiceover work. I'm going to teach voiceover work. And I am, work can come. And I tell my clients, I'm going to be unavailable for a few days.
Yeah.
You can't continue work that you've started when you're on the road because you're
can't
in a totally
pickups.
Different acoustical place.
Yeah.
I don't do promos, so I'm not like on, 24-hour,
You're not on call.
I'm not on call.
Doing affiliate work where it's like, I need you in 10 minutes.
Right. And of course, then there's, of course, the old adage in the voiceover business, when you want work, make plane reservations.
Yes.
You're sitting there in the terminal like, not now! I told you, I'm going away!
Yeah.
I don't particularly like working when I'm on the road. One, because my wife will kill me if I do, mm-hmm. but she's
when you're on a vacation.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So don't do it when you're on vacation. At a voiceover conference, I figure if something comes along, there are 500 people attending a voiceover conference, chances are somebody has brought a rig with them.
Exactly.
And as many times as I've helped them out, maybe they'll help me out this time.
There you go. I like it. Flying without a net.
I know.
But I'll also say that at VoiceOver Atlanta, or VO Atlanta is the proper name for the show. At VO Atlanta, they have a booth set up there so voice actors who do need to record something can do it.
Problem solved.
So, unless it ends up being absorbently busy and you can't get in there is a place to go record.
Right.
But Dan's right. There's going to be a lot of you guys there geeking out, bringing your road kits, showing it off, using it. There's going to be resources for those that need it.
Yes.
So good point.
Yeah. So don't obsess about doing stuff on the road. Way too many people. What am I going to do on the road? Yeah. You're going to be on the road.
Yeah, relax.
Not going to happen.
This one's from Michelle Blanker.
Yeah.
And it's the last one. And before we bring on Anthony, who's waiting patiently, so we'll be quick. My Scarlett 2i2 will not stay connected.
Dang.
The cord is very loose at the back. I'm thinking she means the USB.
Yeah, the big USB cable there.
It's been giving me fits for a while. Can they replace the rear connection, or is there a fix you can recommend? Well, first, just switch the cable. It could be the cable that's loose.
Yeah.
So that's your first thing to try. Okay. If you've assuming you've done that, if it's not that, then it's the connection on the actual Scarlett. In that case, can it be fixed? Yes. Will they fix it, or should it be? No. I mean, gear like that is so inexpensively meant and unfortunately kind of disposable. I mean, when those things wear out, the connections are hard soldered to the circuit board inside, and they're a nuisance to fix. You could take it to a local techie guy, a repair shop, and they might be able to fix it, but they'll probably charge you $100 to fix it.
Buy a new one.
And yeah, so I would say it's a nice time to upgrade.
Yeah.
My favorite upgrade is the Audient ID 4. The 2i2 is just fine, and the new generation of it is even better.
Yeah.
But the Audient ID 4 is fan-friggin-tastic.
Well, I'm going to have to try
one. Anthony has one now, and
he'll tell us all about it and how it works for him. We know he sounds great.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anthony Mendez is coming up next, big star from Jane the Virgin, here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Stay right there. He'll be right with us.
Are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Man, there's one show that I can't miss. It's called VOBS. And a lot of people are like, VOBS? What is that? That is BS about VO. And I love VO. How much BS is going to be in this show? There's only one way to find out, baby.
All righty. You know, now's a great time to get Rehearsal Pro. Because it's just a few, in just a few short weeks, there's going to be a brand new feature in Rehearsal Pro that will blow you away. We're going to give you access to a new community of actors and voice talent where you can offer your services as a professional to help others with their rehearsing and scene exploration. That's what actors do. They explore their scenes. More details coming very soon. Rehearsal Pro, the app for actors and voiceover talent, is available now at rehearsal.pro/. You can throw your hand in front of me now. /download. That's rehearsal.pro/download. Learning your lines for an on-camera work has never been easier, and creating quick, awesome-sounding voiceover auditions has never been faster. And with the new Reader Marketplace, you'll be able to create your own business helping other actors book more work. Sounds like a great idea. That's Rehearsal Pro, available at rehearsal.pro/download. That's rehearsalpro/download. All righty. And there it is. All righty. Anthony Mendez, in just mere seconds, will be with us here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
You're competing for work with other voice talents, and every one of them has a powerful, unique, engaging voice demo. Your voice demo needs to stand out from the crowd in an unforgettable way. Now it can. Vizzy Visual Voice Demos take your awesome voice demo and add a visual element, reinforcing your brand. Your demo will leave a lasting impression because it stimulates two senses instead of just one. Your voice is your livelihood. You need an effective demo to open doors of opportunity. Blow those doors down with a Vizzy visual voice demo. Visit VizzyDemos.com for more information. Your audio demo never looked so good. Take your voice demos to the next level, a visual level, with Vizzy visual voice demos. Check out our introductory pricing at VO Atlanta 2017.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some VoiceOver with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
All right, and now it's time to welcome our guest who's joining us all the way from New Jersey. He's in Jersey, yeah. Now, Anthony Mendez is an Emmy-nominated voiceover actor, better known as the Latin lover narrator on the CW's critically acclaimed TV show, Jane the Virgin, and creator of the upcoming motion comic, Mike Tomb. We'll have to hear all about it. Welcome, Anthony Mendez.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Great
it's
to have you.
It's my third time here, by the way, so yes. I'm no longer a two-timer.
Yeah, really.
Three times.
He's a three. Right? He might be one of the first three-timers.
We're going to have to do one of those Saturday Night Live episodes where all the three-timers come in. They're in the lounge, you know, with cigars and... Yeah.
Really. Well, first off, congratulations on the success of Jane the Virgin. When last time you were on, you were talking about when you were just in pre-production of it, or you were just starting to do the...
Yeah, I think we had finished the pilot, maybe, and we started doing
It really took off. My wife and I have been binge-watching it, we just love it.
Did you have any idea? You know, they always say, do you know it's going to be a success when you read it?
No. I mean, I barely wanted to do it. Looking at the concept of it. And then once I read the script, I saw how layered it was. I said, okay, this is great. But even with the promo, it's a very hard show to promo, because if you watch the show, there's so many stories and it moves so fast that it's hard to promo in 15 or 30 seconds. So the first promo that I saw, I was like, oh my God, this is not going to be good. But thank God that the episodes themselves went far and beyond. And then the promos have gotten much better since then, because obviously now, the promo department understands, the nuance of the stuff, and they've been really good at choosing the certain stories to stand out. So
right,
yeah, they got to find their way a little bit on this, right? Because this is a different kind of genre than most.
That's not typical
for American television.
It really isn't. And what's promising is that we double our viewership in delayed viewers and digital. So it's an amazing thing, because it kind of talks about where the younger demographic of quote unquote television viewers are. And Jane the Virgin, I think, is sitting right in that pocket. Unfortunately, the way that, well, you know, it still lags a little bit behind to be able to put that into consideration for ad revenue. But, you know, we're having a good time, and we're being recognized by people that the critics and obviously the Emmys recognize my narration. I wish they wouldn't recognize the rest of the cast, especially Gina. But hopefully this third season is the charm. So we got another season coming up. We were renewed for a fourth season. So
outstanding.
I'm happy to work for another year and a half.
Yeah. Well, it's a great show. And like you said, there's a lot of layers to it and some great characters. And as you were saying, Gina Rodriguez is great in that. But the other supporting cast, it was perfectly cast. It's extremely well written. You know, and my theory is always, it's always the writing. You know, I mean, the shooting things and the style of things, it's pretty standard stuff. But if you can tell a good story, that's what makes it work. And
and somehow they're able to tell 100 stories, it feels like, and still keep those balls juggling. Man. Jenny and the group of writers we have are just, every time I'm in the room with any of them, when I visit like once or twice a year, I always feel like I know for a fact I'm definitely not the smartest one in the room in that moment, because these are some creative geniuses when they write these stories. Just amazing.
Right.
So do you think another show of this nature will probably come to the scene now? People are seeing the success of the show?
I don't know if another show like this will come, but it maybe I hope it pushes people to not only create more inclusive casting, but more importantly, to take more risks on network. Because a lot of the risks are happening now, it seems like, on a cable
online,
and the CW is doing a good job of balancing the demographics between providing a good core of their superhero genre with other stuff that spreads out to other viewers. So
Plus, it's also showing, you know, America and you know, and all the CW viewers really what telenovela is really all about. Which is, you know, it's great storytelling, and people, you know, sometimes you watch it in Spanish and you go, you sort of follow what's going along, so it's kind of fun to watch it in English.
When you see how fast the pace of the show is so fast.
Yeah. It is really fast, but that's how telenovelas are. I mean, there's always something dramatic and something over the top. But with this, in order for it to work, the acting of the main cast has to be very, very grounded in reality. And I think Gina leads the way with that, and the rest of the cast, from Jaime to Andrea and Yvonne, and everybody involved, is just amazing, amazing stuff.
Yeah. So how did you start off? Did you start off in acting, or did you start off in voiceover?
I started off taking the path of acting with the intention to be in voiceover. The challenge was when I was doing, taking scene study courses, audition technique courses, and improv classes, it was with the intention of being a better voice actor. And I did those in New York, but unfortunately, you know, a lot of people in New York, a lot of actors see voiceover, unfortunately, as a side income or something in between until either the show takes off, whether that's television, movie, or theater. But I always knew that I wanted that to be the core. I wanted this to be my stage. And unfortunately, in some of those like meet and greets, I remember a casting director told me, because I asked a question, I said, what if you just want to do voiceovers? Because she was talking about doing voiceovers and doing on camera. And she was like, oh, that's going to be pretty impossible for you to do. You kind of have to do both in this town. So that kind of pushed me to prove them wrong. And now we know. I mean, it takes time, right? We know, because we're in the business, that there are thousands of us that are doing this as our career, and thousands more that want to do it as their career. But the reality is that it's not. It's something to be taken seriously. It's something that is its own stage, its own craft. And the short answer is, yeah, I studied to be an actor, but I wanted this to be my stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've had a lot of success doing promo work and sports promo, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's half my work still. I do boxing promos for HBO Sports. I do a weekly national radio promo called HBO Sports Minute, where I run everything down that's sports related that's coming up on HBO. I do MMA for Spike, that I do in Spanish. The HBO I do in English. And I also do Spanish boxing promos for Showtime. So I become like a fighting voice guy, which is okay with me. But that is half my work. And then, of course, the Spanish movie trailers provides another like quarter of my work. So Jane is like one side. It's a side that allows me a platform to either help other people or to create other projects. And then the other half is just my diversified portfolio, if you will. So if, you know, knock on wood, Jane goes away, I can still kind of have my career and support my family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is key, man, right? Yeah. Having some layers of clients.
Absolutely. But I think just your success with this particular series, you will find other stuff. But how did you land this particular role?
It's just when another emailed audition from my agent. I get anywhere from 2 to 5 auditions a day from both my East Coast and my West Coast, and sometimes from Chicago. This one came through from Anna Rodriguez, my agent at SBV in LA. And at first I didn't want to do it. I put it aside. At the end of the day, I did it. About a month later, she told me, looks like I'm going to get the job. And it was just another thing you record and you forget about, and then hope that it books. And that's what happened with this. Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, when they told me you have a table read, because the pilot, I wasn't involved that early on. I was basically in post production with the pilot. Everybody had shot, all the primary shooting had gone on. They were still doing post. But for the second episode, once we got picked up and once we got the order of 13 episodes, then they told me you have a table read. I never really attended a table read, so I had to Google it and prepare myself. And I joined them now regularly via Skype. They're in LA and I'm here in Jersey, and I joined the cast via Skype for the table reads. And when I'm there, I fly out there. I try to make the last table read of the season. I fly out there just to be there in person. It's such a cool vibe.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's a great cast, and it's. Do you ever get to talk or work, you know, or interact with some of the other actors at all?
Not for work. I mean, we text each other, we email each other, and stuff like that. But for work, it's just me. I mean, it's just me and Gina Lamar, one of our producers, she does the first session with me on the phone via phone patch, and then I upload it for her. And then for pickups, of course, because Jenny is our showrunner, the executive producer, and the lead writer, she gets involved in the redirects or the pickups for the episode. So that can be anywhere from 3 to 5 sessions. The first one is the prelim. We do the entire show. Then as they edit and start cutting into dailies, or they get notes back from the studio, or Jenny wants to make some changes, then we'll do pickups. With Jenny on the line. Okay. So
the narrator is a really essential part of that show. I mean, you're like the binding of you know, that pulls it all together. What goes into that character, and what was it that they told you they really wanted?
The audition said a telenovela announcer. They didn't give, if I recall, any specifics about what it was, but I knew that they wanted sort of like an Antonio Banderas-ish kind of thing. But the telenovela announcer, as you know, is really what I call the Spanish Dracula. Este viernes, blah. So I was like, there's no way I'm going to do that for an hour, man. So I went with the pillow talk, kind of more suave, kind of, you know, your buddy at night watching TV with you. And in terms of acting choices, I made the choice because I knew that Jane hadn't met her father, at least in the pilot. I made the choice of being sort of a distant parental figure. So that's kind of all that went into it. As time goes on now, I have hints of who the narrator is. So I'm kind of grounding that performance in that. And I'm just basically having fun. He's having as much fun as the viewer is. He's like your buddy, your watching buddy.
Yeah, it's fun when you sort of break the third wall with it, which is...
Yeah, so much fun.
It's really cool.
It's funny because, you know, we're trained not to, right? We're trained to disappear in our narration. When you don't notice... That's when we've done our job, when you understand the story. For the pilot, I remember there were some hints of what was to come in terms of him kind of coming into his own or becoming more sassy, if you will. And I cringed a little bit when I saw those those kind of lines. But, you know, after I met Jenny, after I saw the pilot, I was like, oh, you know what? They know exactly what they're doing. And it happens all the time, not just with the TV show. It happens with different things, with the producer. Especially at this level of the game, they ask you that you want some things. And if you doubt it for a second, you could be cheating yourself. You know, part of acting is allowing yourself to make a fool of yourself, allowing yourself to fall on your face. And if you're not willing to take those risks, internally, you may think that you're protecting your profession. But really, it's just externally, it comes across as you're not being a player, as you're not being easy to work with. So you have to take those risks and trust that these are the people that are putting this stuff together, and you're just one small part of it, so they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some technical stuff. We'll let the technical guy ask these questions.
Well, I mean, we'll get in a little bit about what you use in your studio, but in terms of how they produce the show, you mentioned phone patch.
Yeah.
So what is the workflow? So they send you a script, and then is everything you do directed, or do you ever self-direct?
Very rarely, unless they have to jump off the line and say, hey, can you do this one line? Or we forgot this one line. Can you just give us several? Yeah. It's mostly directed. And I prefer that way for everything. Yeah. I don't like the self-directed thing. I mean, when you have to do it, but you just perform better when you're being directed. At least I do anyway. You're not worried about playing director. You can give 100% of the copy. So the way it works is I get the script, the table read draft. That means that usually the next day or in a day or two, I'm going to have a table read. Yeah. With the cast. So I do it with them when I can attend. Sometimes I can't because of other work. But if I can't, or even if I do, then I read it again the day before the session. So usually I record with Gina that same week, hopefully before they start or finish the shooting for that week.
How many pages is a typical script?
A typical script for Jane is about 65 pages, 60 to 65 pages, usually 63 to 65.
Yeah.
And my pages range anywhere from 34 to as much as 50 sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I get a good chunk. I'm pretty much on every page. I think there are some writers that are more efficient than others. And I also think that depending on where they are in the arc of the season, that you need more or less of the narrator. So it varies, but it's always a lot of stuff. And once what I call the prelim session, the preliminary session for the whole episode, takes us about 2 hours to record.
That seems pretty efficient to me.
It seems pretty efficient along. Because now we're kind of like, you know, we know the character. by now. You know, when we first did it, it took like 3 to 4 hours, but now we know the character. I know what the, what Jenny usually wants, and Gina's on the line, and we have that rapport now where I'm very comfortable kind of giving her options. If she's happy with that, I said, oh, let me try just something so you have it. So it's 2 hours to record, and then maybe another half hour to an hour for me to just to trim it up and upload it. Because what I do is they get one huge wave file or a BWF because it has all the metadata on it.
Oh,
so I do region markers.
Okay.
For the first take. And that's how they want it. So I just send them the whole file and it just has the markers on it.
So you're recording in what software?
I'm recording in Adobe Audition. Yeah. And I started this. What's that?
I'm sorry. Are they working in that same format? In other words, whatever they're using to edit your audio, they have to be able to read that metadata too.
Well, no, because if you save a file with BWF and you make sure that on there is BWF, that's basically the metadata for WAV.
Gotcha.
That's so even though it says .wav, it's basically a broadcast WAV file.
Right.
So anybody standard. Who's in broadcast, it's a standard. Yeah, it's a standard metadata for broadcast. So once they can load it up in any Avid system that they're using, and they can still see my markers.
Nice. And then bearing the lead, but what is your signal chain? So what do you like to record through these days? Because I know it's
I have the
recently.
8040, which I'm using now.
Mm-hmm. It's a small diaphragm.
See that dramatic? You like that dramatic?
Kind of. Yes. Do that again. Just sort of. There you go.
And it smells nice too. That's really why I chose it. Let me explain the 8040 because a lot of people don't use it. This mic is a tiny little small diaphragm condenser mic. And the reason I chose it was because the 416 back there is the closet where I record against. I face the closet. Let me see if I can give you a little peek.
Sure.
Back there, I face that closet. Look, it's a closet. At the top is intentionally a box of different shaped boxes and DVDs. That is my diffuser, if you will.
I love it.
And then the bottom is a drape with heavy coats, and that's basically my bass trap. And that's kind of like...
I'm so proud of you.
I know! Prodigal son.
But it still looks like a closet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But so I understand, as long as I understand those things, and that's why I face the closet. I'm not in the closet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then so stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
When we have some other news to report.
Comes.
This 8040 is because the 416 against that, the 416, as we know, it's great and we're used to the sound for promos, right? But it's not really designed to be used at that range or with a wall that close behind it.
Right.
So it picks up a lot of rear stuff. I called Sennheiser and we were going back and forth. I would explain to him what I used it for. I wanted to maintain the same sound, but I needed better rear rejection and similar side rejection. And they said, we have this new thing called the 8040. So I said, okay, send it to me. And it's an amazing thing. I say that the MKH 8040 is what Sennheiser would have designed. Well, the technology that's in this is what they would have put in the 416 had the 416 been designed now.
Right.
In terms of better rear rejection, because it has similar side rejection and it has a better response, frequency response across the board, but still relatively flat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the mic, and it used to go into 737, but as George knows, who helped me out because I was freaking out because all of a sudden I had noise, my Avalon developed a capacitor issue and had a buzz. So I got the Grace 103, M103, based on his recommendation. Nice, same layout, a solid state, so I don't have to worry about warming up my tubes. And then from the 103, I needed a way to get it into my laptop. I've always been using a laptop ever since 2009, where in an emergency, my Mac died, and I had to get a laptop to record. And I realized, wait a minute, I was able to record with a laptop. I'm just going to record with a laptop. So I recorded with a laptop. So I needed a USB interface, and George recommended the ID4 from Audient, which is an amazing piece. I mean, let me see if I can get a close up here so I can show you a little bit better.
It's not very big
at all. I mean, you can see it's, even though I do have big hands, but this is, if you notice, this is set at zero, which speaks volumes about this unit. My other Focusrite Forte, which had some driver issues and things like that, first of all, wasn't as solid. It's not no longer supported, but I also had to give it some gain in order to get it up to signal level. This is at zero. So basically that means that it's basically either working as at unity gain or is really just working as a line through kind of thing as an interface. So I don't have to touch it at all. And mind you, my Grace preamp setting is set at like 12 o'clock, and so is the output. So it tells you that it's not a really loud signal going through here, but it's just an amazing, amazing thing. It has a mute. You can mix DAW to what you're getting out of. I'm very happy with it. And then, of course, I had to get new monitors because once you change one thing, you realize how noisy all your other stuff is.
Right, right. Yeah, you got a much better AD conversion now because of that.
Yeah,
so, exactly. And then you're going, those look like Yamahas.
Yeah, they're Yamahas. When I started, I used to have the NS10s, which everybody had.
Mm-hmm.
The NS10s became the industry standard because at the time, I believe it was what, 60s, 70s, they were bookshelf speakers. You know, at the time, they were like audiophile bookshelf speakers.
Yeah.
And when mixers were doing stuff, they had them in the studio because they wanted to mix according to what the higher end.
What people were listening on,
was listening to at home.
Yeah.
So they became kind of like what we were listening on. So they had these white cones and stuff, but unfortunately, because they weren't studio monitors, they didn't have the adjustments that you can make to studio monitors on the back for the room, like the high and the low cut or boost, you know,
yeah,
and the trimming and stuff like that. These, and they stopped making them. These, yeah. what they did was basically they took the NS10s, but they gave it a much flatter response and the ability to tune it on the back for both high and low ends for your room.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with that. Plus, they're only $200 a piece, which is, you know, for studio monitors,
that's not
probably
bad.
Nothing.
Yeah. For voiceover, it's probably about the most you really ever have to probably
spend. Yeah, exactly. Because what are you really mixing? I'm not mixing anything.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why we like having Anthony on the show, because he's a geeky voice actor.
He's hopelessly practical.
He's incredibly practical. And understands his stuff, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, but the funny thing is, you know, and this is a lesson, because I worked with George in getting this issue fixed. I've been doing audio since 96, right? And you get to a point where you, and this goes for voiceover, for anything, not just for tech, you get to the point where you have so much experience that you think you can do everything on your own. But because I'm not into tech every day, I don't really read what the latest things are coming up. I don't talk to the manufacturers or the representatives like George does. I said, let me give George a call. I even spoke to Joe Cipriano. He said, give George a call. I gave George a call. And it was it's the best thing that you can do. You have to hire somebody who that is what they do. And I wish I'd called him sooner. It would have saved me a couple of, a few headaches.
No, thanks, man.
I appreciate that.
It's always an honor to work with pros. You know, I work with everybody from the newest to the grizzliest. Is that a word? But
grizzledest? Yeah, there's a few of your clients
who might
probably refer to them as
grizzly. Like those grizzlies that are attacking schools. Oh, sorry, I'm not going to be political.
But it's great working with a pro, especially a pro that knows what they need and where they have to be, so we can not go hunting around in the dark. Try this. You know. So
By the time I brought him on, I had already kind of narrowed it down by regular standard. If you don't know, there are standards to kind of fine tuning where does the noise come from, to troubleshooting. I had already gone through that, and I determined that it was the Avalon. But unfortunately, once I changed the Avalon, I realized how noisy everything else was.
Yeah, that's the thing that's funny about noisy gear is the noisiest thing determines the noise floor.
Yes.
And it masks white noise, masks other white noise.
Yes.
So if you have the loudest thing will cover everything else. It's not,
and your ears will get used to it.
Yeah.
You almost can't hear it after a while. It's like when you leave your house and your friends was like, "Was your mother just cooking?" It's like that.
No, and just because I got to geek a little bit more, they don't. When you have two white noises, this one doesn't add to this one, making them both louder.
Yeah.
This is the weird thing about white noise; they don't cumulatively get louder. So whatever the loudest one is, that's going to mask everything else.
Hmm.
You take away the loudest one. The Avalon, probably in this case, because the issues it had, and then everything else all of a sudden becomes noticeable.
Yeah,
right.
It's like I also talk about when it comes to soundproofing. It's like plugging a dam. You know, you have a big leak, and you're like, stop the leak, and then there's another one over there. You know, you patch the big hole first. So
that's very much how it is. I mean, it's for a while. That's why I decided to just replace everything, because even the Furman Rack Rider was so old that at that point, I don't know what they put in there. So, and I could hear it when I turned it on. So I got the new, it's called the Elite i15 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. So basically, I basically have a new studio now.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad the first try was the right one.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, well, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to talk about this other project that you're working on, Mike Tomb, which ought to be very interesting to hear about. And if anybody out in our vast audience all across the globe has a question for Anthony Mendez, the narrator on Jane the Virgin and lots of promo stuff, any question at all for him, throw it in the chat room, and our chat room monitor tonight, Jack Daniel, will relay it to us, and we will ask it of Anthony.
Jack Daniel, for real?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, show him Jack Daniel there, Andrew. There it is.
Jack Daniel, there's Jack right there.
Okay. All right.
That's awesome, dude.
All right. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop with Anthony Mendez. Don't go away.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
Are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.
You're competing for work with other voice talents, and every one of them has a powerful, unique, engaging voice demo. Your voice demo needs to stand out from the crowd in an unforgettable way. Now it can. Vizzy Visual Voice Demos take your awesome voice demo and add a visual element, reinforcing your brand. Your demo will leave a lasting impression because it stimulates two senses instead of just one. Your voice is your livelihood. You need an effective demo to open doors of opportunity. Blow those doors down with a Vizzy Visual Voice Demo. Visit VizzyDemos.com for more information. Your audio demo never looked so good. Take your voice demos to the next level, a visual level, with Vizzy Visual Voice Demos. Check out our introductory pricing at VO Atlanta 2017.
You know, as if you didn't have enough good reasons to go over to voiceoveressentials.com, our great sponsor for almost 6 years. We're coming up on our 6th anniversary, kids. I'll tell you. Harlan Hogan over at VoiceOver Essentials has a great website. And if there wasn't enough good reasons to go over there, now there's even more. Because he's now offering 2-day free shipping on many of his items. And so, I mean, one of the things that's great about his site, as Andrew scrolls through there, is the variety of stuff that he has, including all of his signature series stuff like the VO1A and the Porta Booths and the Porta Booth things that go with it, racks and stuff like that. You can now get it with 2-day free shipping. And you can't beat that. Not only is he great with, you know, now with 2-day free shipping, but he guarantees the stuff that he sells.
Yep.
And if you don't like it, which is virtually impossible, you can send it back and he doesn't ask any questions. So that's great customer service, and that's possibly one of the best reasons to go over there, aside from the fact that he's got such great stuff in his catalog there at voiceoveressentials.com. So if you want to get the best voiceover stuff out there, whether you're a newbie or you're somebody who's well-established and you know what you want, because that's really important. You got to know what you want. Don't ask retail people, I'm in voiceover, what should I get? Don't do that. That's Dan's number one rule of retail. Well, Harlan's done a great job with this because he's already got the best stuff for you, for what is best for you right now. And the choices are all excellent ones. So go over to voiceoveressentials.com. Best way to go there, especially right now, because you should go over there and buy stuff right this very second.
Go
down to the bottom of the page, click on the picture of Harlan there in front of his porta booth, and it will take you right to voiceoveressentials.com, because that will tell him that we sent you.
And I think we've sent a lot of people there because he keeps advertising with
us. He does.
So I guess that's good. So anyway, go to voiceoveressentials.com. Not only the best place to get stuff, but now with 2-day free shipping.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Hi, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running? And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon? And the scripts seem a bit dated, too. Advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlantProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream.
And we're back with Anthony Mendez, who's joining us from New Jersey, talking to us about his career in Jane the Virgin. And that was all very interesting. But you're working on a new project now called Mike Tomb. Could you explain what this is all about and how it came about?
Sure. Mike Tomb is a graphic. We hope to also turn into a motion comic. It started as a screen play, and then because of the multiple stories that were inspired by my life growing up in the headstone business, I turned it into a TV pilot. But instead of just shopping around a TV pilot, I decided, you know what? I love comics. I've always...
It'll catch up eventually.
Yes. So I've hired Steve Stern, who's... Yeah, he basically has been in the business for ages. And Jim Fern, who is an artist that's done for about 30 years, DC and Marvel stuff, he's doing the art. So hopefully we're on track to get it out this fall. So Mike Tomb is basically about a young Dominican headstone maker who discovers different supernatural secrets in his family and some powers that actually might be killing him, ironically, if he does use them.
Hmm. Okay. That's creative. Is this somewhat autobiographical or is he frozen?
It's inspired by the base or the setting is the headstone business, which I grew up in. So it is inspired by the headstone business, but it doesn't have any elements in terms of things that I necessarily experienced myself. Some parts of my relationship between me and my father, which did get contentious at times, is in there, of course.
Yeah.
But also a lot of the political history of the U.S. occupation of the Dominican Republic and how that was brought over here and how that impacted Dominican culture and American culture as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the story. And hopefully the first book will be one of many to help us tell the story.
How soon do you think you'll be getting that out?
In the fall. We expect to release it by Halloween.
How are you distributing? Is it self-published or...
We're doing it online through, we're going to be submitting to Comixology, which is Amazon's digital comic outlet. But before that, we hope to submit it to Image Comics and see if they're interested in the project. And if not, we're going to go forward with doing it digitally ourselves under my strip.company.
Fantastic.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. Well, we've got a bunch of questions from our audience. Are you ready?
Cool. Sure.
Oh, okay. Fine. All right. From Trey Mosley, how does doing this role of the narrator on Jane the Virgin provide a sense of pride for the Latin community? Does he see more doors opening for Latino voice actors to be more mainstream?
That's a good question. I think not just the narrator role, but the fact that this is a predominantly Latino cast, speaks volumes. It's something that that you know you don't see on TV currently, even though we hopefully are moving in that direction. But it's not just about the narrator. I think it's basically about Jenny Ehrman's wanting to ground this so much in reality, that all the research and all the things that are true about the Latino culture are there. But more importantly, it's really an American show. The cast is Latino, but it shows basically an American Latino aspect of life. So it really is an American show. But in terms of being proud, I'm not just proud about it representing Latinos. I'm proud, more importantly, of having a show that's written so well, that's cast and acted so well. Because I think that's where we have to get into. That's where you got to be careful, right? Because every time we see something that is Latino lead or Latino cast, we want them to feel like they're representing the Latino community. And the reason we want that is because we see so little of ourselves being represented on TV. So that's not to say that you can't represent the Latino community, but you have to be careful about making sure that you don't put that kind of burden on yourself in terms of carrying that and saying, okay, you know what, we're representing all Latinos, because it's impossible to represent Latino. It's not a homogenized culture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so fragmented. There's going to be a big section of the VoiceOver Atlanta. Here, I'm doing it now.
VO Atlanta.
VO Atlanta. There's going to be a big subset of it that's all Spanish speaking. They have their own whole track throughout the whole conference. It's literally a schedule within the schedule where they have their own sessions. They talk about their own topics, and it's really cool.
That's a very different thing than what I'm doing, because what I've always felt was that there are two, at least predominant markets for Latino community in voiceovers. There's one that is the Spanish speaking, and there's one that is the English speaking with Latino either accent or basically the way I speak. So it's basically it has Latino sensibilities and understanding, and it is injected with Latino culture, but it's still very much American.
Yeah.
And then of course there is my personal belief is that the acculturated American Latino is growing at a faster pace, but we also still kind of listen to a lot of the products and things that are sold on the other side too.
Sure,
so it's just so much going on in terms of multicultural voiceovers.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the thing. Atlanta is a little different, where it literally is an international
contest,
thing. So people are coming in from other countries to talk about their issues in their countries and their Spanish speaking countries.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
which will be amazing. I don't do any international work, unfortunately. I wish I did. I just can't get up at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning to do a voiceover session. I'm sorry, that's just not happening.
Exactly. Well, this Bev Standing question is a perfect follow-up for that.
Yeah.
What percentage of your work is Spanish and what is English?
It's half and half.
50-50.
Yeah, it feels that way anyway. If I had to run the numbers on it, it is kind of half and half. Maybe there are times, depending on the season. And I say half because I kind of consider Jane both. But it's, you know, the trailers, in terms of trailer, I would say 80%, if not 90 or more percent of the trailers I do are in Spanish. It's just American Spanish.
Yeah.
I would have to say it's about half and half. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Paul Stefano asks something utterly completely unrelated, but at least it's within the picture behind you there. Who signed the basketball?
man, I'm a little depressed because, you know, they're Knicks basketball. I'm a Knicks fan. This one belongs to Jason Kidd. Well, he signed this one. And this one is J.R. Smith when he won the Sixth Man Award when he was with the Knicks. So I keep it in hopes that the Knicks will return to at least give us that feeling that we had during that season.
Hey, Jack, do you want to answer or ask your own question?
Sure.
Listen, here, I'm gonna turn on Jack's mic. He's far away, but you'll hear him.
Okay. All right. Hey, Anthony, first of all, thank you so much for the show. It's amazing, really great information.
Thank you.
Your room seems really quiet. Did you do anything to reduce your noise floor in terms of the choice of the room or any changes you made to the room?
The choice of the room, yes, number one. This is pretty much center, the middle of the house. So I have a hallway, a room there, and a room there, and then an alleyway between the two buildings. So it kind of like provides that space. versus, let's say, if I was in my kid's room or in the front living room or in the basement, it would be just too close to street or so. Yeah. So the room location was important. I try to pick the middle room of the house, of the apartment. And on that window here, let me see if I can turn it around and see if I can get some of that here. If you notice, there's that's my wife's Emmy dress. There's sound stuff hanging from the curtains. So that's there to provide some level of reduction. We know I'll get in focus eventually, guys.
I thought it was me.
Here we go. All right, no, that's me. That helps provide some level of reduction there. And then I have these gobos. This one here that I have, it's basically two standing ones that I kind of form an open kind of room around myself to help prevent sound. And of course, I live on a dead end street, so that helps too.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, part two, Jack.
And part two, because I'm a hog. you talked about the 80-40, which is really interesting. I don't know much about it. You talked about its rear ejection characteristics. What about its character? Is it similar to the 416, or is it better somehow?
Yeah, it's very similar to it. Is this thing focused to you guys? There we go.
Yeah, close enough.
Okay. Yeah, close enough. It's SD. the 416, the reason I went with this one was because I spoke to Sennheiser. I told him I wanted something that sounded similar to the 416, at least at its core. So it does have the similar. It has a similar core sound to the 416. The difference is it doesn't sound as compressed. So the bottom is more accurate. The top is more accurate and not as harsh as a 416 if you were to use it up close. So yeah, so it's a perfect jump from the 416. Of course, I don't recommend it for people that don't really understand how to EQ a mic either for the room or for what you need because it does require, it's so sensitive across the frequency range that you might get some rumble. So, or harshness at the top. And for you, because you've been using a 416 for so long, if you, let's say if you were using a 416, all of a sudden you're like, well, what are all these sounds coming at? You know, the 416 just felt like it was easier to control. So this one I recommend for people that have some sort of basic understanding of audio and how to EQ it properly for the room. And also, if you are going to get an 8040, make sure you get the Rycote INV2 mount with it.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Oh, I'm so glad Elizabeth Holmes is watching. My great friends from up in San Francisco. She says, do you have a comedy background? Your delivery and timing are impeccable. Thank you so much for your wonderful contribution to Jane the Virgin.
That's cool. Thank you. That's very nice, by the way. I appreciate that. But I did study improv, which helped. I only took one level. But the UCB, the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, has a book out that I've read tons of times that have helped me reinforce the things about improv that I learned. And of course, the thing is just written like that. It's just written so well that in terms of timing and in terms of intonation, you almost have to get out of the way to allow this writing to come through and feel like it. So, because in real life, you know, I have a much more drier, sarcastic wit than the narrator. but it's just really about training and understand that what's going on the screen. I mean, I never read any voiceover script, much less a TV script, without reading what else is going on the screen, the visuals and the other dialogue, because then you're working in a vacuum. So the key there is to understand what's happening in the screen.
A couple more things about your environment. Okay. Well, one from Maxine Dunn, who wants to know the story about the basketballs, which you did talk about a bit. You're a fan of basketball, a lot of signature balls.
Yeah.
But what headphones are you wearing? We talked about everything else. What do you like for cans?
I like the MDR 7506 only because since I've been using them since 96, I understand what they sound like. I understand. I've even mixed stuff in this, believe it or not. Not that I would recommend that to anybody unless you've used them for ages. The MDR 7506 are relatively flat. They haven't done much improvement to it. The price has gone down a little bit. They used to cost $100. Now you can get them for like 70 or 80.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very light. And I got to tell you, I just replaced mine from 12 years just now. because I didn't feel like popping out and redoing the stuff. But they are workhorses. I've dropped them. I've rolled over them. I've spilled stuff on them, and they still work. So the Sony MDR7506 are kind of like my go-to. Plus, I also like the fact that it says professional on it. So even when I'm not getting work, it makes me feel like, you know, I'm okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy a pair of headphones to say amateur on them anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of a dead giveaway. Michael Bleha asks, what are those acoustic curtains? Who makes that? Who's your tailor?
Those, you know, it's funny. My grandfather was a tailor. His name was Perfecto Mendez, and I was almost named after him. Thank God. Thanks, Mom, for looking out. Anyway, these curtains are Mike Bratton, another voiceover guy. When he was in New York, he was leaving back to Chicago. He had to sell a bunch of stuff. He sold me these curtains. I have like a ton of them. They're basically our sound blankets. If you do a search for sound blankets, you can find these. They're super high density and it's very heavy stuff to help reduce. They're really best at reducing reflection more than just keeping sound out. They do help a little bit with the high-end, high-frequency sound, keeping it out a little bit, but they really are more for controlling the room. But you can do sound blankets. I've heard of some people using moving blankets. I just don't know the density of those compared to these, because these were made for these. If you ever go on a sound set, these are basically what they have on the wall. So, yeah, they're basically just sound blankets.
I'm welcome. We want to wrap it up soon because we don't want to keep you much later, but we have a couple more questions popping in. What's your favorite genre of VO, says Scott Chambers?
Now it's TV. Now reading TV has been the most fun. Yeah, because, well, aside from it, you know, being half of my career now, it's just that it just allows you to carry a story through. It allows you to work with other people. But right up there with, and what I mean by TV, not just narrating Jane, but animation as well, because you get to work with other people. Promo is great. Movie trailer is great because it's quick, it's fun, and it's, you know, you're basically in the movie business. But the reality is that I have a lot more satisfaction as an actor telling stories for narration and animation.
Mm-hmm. One last one from Devox.
Sure.
What has Anthony learned recently about VO that surprised him?
Absolutely nothing. What surprised me is that no matter how long you've been doing this, you always have to call upon people to help you, especially those people that are specialists in certain areas. And again, I go back to hiring George to help me get rid of this noise, because you always have something to learn. And it's you fall into a dangerous trap when you create a successful career to think that you're above something. You know, I hate when people say, get to the next level or break through to the next level. There really are no levels. We're all doing this. It's just that some of us have bigger spotlights on us. But, you know, this the other day I had to say, hey, can you help me do this? I was like, yeah. So I think what surprised me the most is just that there will always be something for you to learn. So in terms of learning, that's basically the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, Anthony, as always, it's a pleasure having you on your show. You are one cool guy.
Thank you, man. We should make this a tradition.
Yeah, we'll do that. You know,
and let me know if anybody else has more than three appearances so I can come on again soon. Yeah.
Well, hopefully next time you're out this way, you can actually be in the studio with us.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being with us tonight, and good luck with Jane the Virgin and with Mike Toom and all the other great stuff you're doing.
Thanks a lot, guys. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too.
Thank you, man.
All righty. Well, we'll be right back to wrap it all up into a nice, tight little package in just a minute here on VoiceOver Body Shop, so don't go away.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Wow, this is VOBS? VOBS is still on? Seriously?
Alrighty, we're back to close things out tonight. Don't go anywhere quite yet. We still got stuff to talk to you about. A couple of things, like next week, well, Wednesday, George and I are getting on a plane and flying to Atlanta for VO Atlanta, where I guess we're going to be taking part in a lot of stuff going on there.
Yes.
And when we get there, we're going to find out what that stuff is. But that should be a lot of fun. Meeting over 500, probably close to 600 people are going to be there. So that's going to be great. And a lot of our great friends will be there, too. So that'll be a lot of fun. But we're going to record a lot of stuff from there. And next week's show will be somewhat of a retrospective. So if you missed it, or if you're actually there, you might get to see yourself there.
That's right. It's a clip show.
A clip show. So that'll be next Monday night here. And then on March 20th, believe it or not, we started this show March 22nd, 2011. Boom. Go figure, man.
Wow.
So that's going to be our sixth anniversary of George and I doing this together. And we're still not sure what we're going to do. I think what we're going to do is we're going to find some of the best clips over the past 6 years, some of the great interviews that we've done with some great people and some of the fun stuff we've had, and put that on, not just like a highlight show, but some of the really cool stuff that
if you guys think of something, you're like, this was one of my favorites, just email us, let us know the episode and the time and the episode that you liked.
Right.
You know, send us the YouTube link and we'll pull that clip if we agree.
Yeah. And you can write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. Who are our donors of the week? And we love each and every one of them.
I was going through, right now it looks like the most up-to-date ones that are, since last week, are Elizabeth Holmes. Thanks, Elizabeth. Eric Aragoni.
Yep.
And Greg Thomas. Those are the ones that have come in the last few days.
Excellent. Love it. All right. You can get, also, by the way, there's this banner up above us here, if you're watching on the website, which you should be doing, where you can buy VOBS logo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is more fun every morning than getting my VOBS mug out to have my morning cup of joe.
I have one at my place, and I have one at Maxine's place. No matter where I'm at, I got the same mug.
Yeah, but you can get all sorts of stuff there, so just go over there and look at all the cool things that they have, and show your appreciation for the show, or that tell other people about it. Get some logo stuff.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Let's see. Tonight's opening, I think, was still Chris Heward.
Yeah, I think it was. Was that Chris?
It was.
Yes, it was Chris.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
If you want to do the intro to the show, again, record it and send it to us. If it's up to snuff, if it passes our white glove test, maybe we'll throw it on there for it.
That's right.
What's going on over at Edge?
Well, let's check out the V Opportunities newsletter, and we'll see what's going on.
You guys have a new newsletter, don't you?
A new format for a newsletter. It's called V Opportunities. Let me get one that's current, because I did a search and pulled up an old one.
Ooh.
Sorry about that. V Opportunities. The biggest thing that came to mind really was that we're going to be at VO Atlanta. A bunch of us are going to be down there, actually. The majority of our department heads. Andrew from Education, Leanne in Marketing, myself with you. I'm also with Edge. David Goldberg will be there, and Graham Spicer. All of us are going to be down in Atlanta. But we've got Investigate Voiceover classes, or we call them IVO, with Christian Taylor teaching IVOs out of Chicago. So if you're in the Chicago area, you can get classes with us. Johnny Heller. Well known for audiobooks. He also does commercials. He does commercials and audiobooks. So he's doing a commercial workshop in New York coming up the first week of April. So those are some of the things happening at Edge.
Outstanding. All righty. Show logs. Maybe you want to catch up on what it was that we talked about on a show, or you missed a show. If you go to the show logs, you'll see exactly what went on, and then you can go back and find the time code and watch that part of the show, and Jack DeGoli is still writing down every word we say.
That's right. If you find the show to be a little too long to sit and watch, you'd like to listen to it, we're in podcast form. Just search for VOBS on any podcatching program, and you'll catch us.
Right. Want to be in our studio like these guys?
Ta-da.
Wave and applaud, guys. Now stand up on one foot. No, just kidding.
Just relax.
Yeah, I
command you to relax.
Simon says, all right. But we have food here, we have fun times, and we love having a live audience because it adds to the energy of the show,
mm-hmm.
especially when people actually laugh at what we say, whether we're being serious or not.
Not just me.
That was right. Exactly. So anyway, if you want to be on the show and you're going to be here in the greater Los Angeles area, or you live around the corner like some of them do, just write to us at guys@vobs.tv and say, hey, I want to be there. People are actually listening to us and are actually showing up.
That's right.
Which is nice. And they're bringing stuff.
That's right.
That we can, some of it we can eat and some of it we can't. Can't wait for the broccoli chips that Jack brought us tonight. We'd like to thank our sponsors, of course. Vizzy Demos, thanks for joining us, guys.
Holland Hogan.
VoiceOver Extra.
Edge Studio.
Source Elements.
Vio2Gogo and the Rehearsal App.
And, of course, Antlands Productions for killer demos and all of them for providing the uninterrupted streaming that you get every week here on our show.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Marcy, who's not here still. She's on her way back from Florida right now.
And Catherine Curtin, our producer that books all these great guests.
Right. Anthony Gettig and Jack Daniel, especially tonight, for watching the chat room.
Mm-hmm,
we
that's
really
right.
appreciate that.
Floor producer Andrew Bushwitz.
Andrew!
Da-da-da.
Everybody applaud Andrew. He deserves it.
Yeah.
All right. And Jack DeGolia for the show notes, and our buddy Lee Penny, simply for being Lee Penny. Eventually, he'll come down and visit us here, which would be really nice. That's going to do it for us this week. We're going to be at VO Atlanta. Looking forward to that. And look, voiceover is not easy, as Dave Winograd said. Practice, practice, practice. But you can do it. It's not that hard. I mean, it's hard, but it's not as hard as I think some people make it. And we try to make the technical stuff for you as easy and understandable as possible. So with that said, have a great week, everyone. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VO. BS. Take care.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every